restaurant is quiet, the lighting is dim, the kind of intentional ambiance designed to facilitate intimacy. He is sitting across from her. He has rehearsed this. He has spent the last 40 minutes mentally reviewing the anecdotes he intends to share. He has pre-selected a specific, witty response to the question he anticipates her asking about his work. He is waiting for his turn to speak. She says something about her day, something small, something inconsequential. He hears the words, but he is not listening to the meaning. He is listening for the opening. He is scanning the conversation for the cue that allows him to deploy the next piece of his prepared script. He smiles at the right moment. He leans in when he thinks he should. He is doing everything right. But as he watches her eyes, he sees the flicker of something else. A slight detachment. A subtle looking away. He feels the sudden sharp urge to lean in harder, to say something more profound, to fix the sudden coolness in the air. He is working very hard, but he isn't actually there. This is the difference between presence and performance. In the modern landscape of dating and social interaction, men have been given a buffet of scripts. Some scripts tell you to be the dominant provider. Others tell you to be the emotionally vulnerable healer. Some tell you to be the detached, stoic observer. These are all performances. They are costumes worn by the ego to navigate perceived social threats. The problem is that a performance is an act of labor. It is an attempt to manage how one is perceived. When a man is performing, his attention is directed outward toward the recipient of the act. He is monitoring her reactions to calibrate his next move. He is checking the scorecard of the interaction in real time. The counterthesis to this is often misunderstood. People think the opposite of performance is being yourself. They think it is a matter of authenticity, as if yourself is a static, finished product waiting to be unveiled. But yourself is often just a collection of unexamined habits. The true opposite of performance is not authenticity. It is presence. Presence is not a persona, it is the absence of the narrator. It is the state of a nervous system that is not currently busy calculating its next move. You cannot be present through effort. You can only be present when the effort of monitoring the interaction has ceased. The loop begins with the detection of a perceived threat. In this context, the threat is not physical. It is the threat of disapproval, of boredom, or of the loss of interest. When the man feels her energy shift, a shorter text, a slower response, a slight lack of warmth, his nervous system enters a state of high arousal. This is the sympathetic nervous system taking the wheel. The brain perceives a drop in her engagement as a drop in his social value. To compensate, the brain initiates a defensive maneuver, the performance. The physiological process is immediate. His breathing becomes shallower. His focus narrows. This is tunnel vision applied to social dynamics. He is no longer observing the room or the woman. He is observing his own performance. He is looking for the fix. This creates a feedback loop of hypervigilance. Because he's anxious about her reaction, he monitors her reaction more closely. Because he is monitoring her reaction more closely, he is even less present in the moment. He is essentially watching a live feed of his own potential failure. The more he detects a negative signal, the more he increases the intensity of the performance. He thinks, if I can just find the right words, if I can just be more interesting, if I can just show her how much I care, the anxiety will dissipate. But the anxiety is not being caused by her reaction. The anxiety is being caused by his attempt to control her reaction. The performance is the very thing that signals the presence of his anxiety. He thinks he is projecting confidence, but he is actually broadcasting a frantic need for validation. He is trying to use a mask to hide the fact that he is trembling. There is a second, more insidious layer to this pattern. This is the layer where the man moves from active performance to self-erasure. This is the man who has learned that the safest way to perform is to disappear. He believes that if he removes all friction, if he agrees with every opinion, if he makes himself perfectly malleable to her needs, he will be safe from rejection. This is a performance of niceness. It is a sophisticated form of the same mechanism. He is still not present. He is simply performing a vacuum. In this stage, the man begins to monitor his own boundaries. Before he speaks, he asks, "Will this offend her? Will this make things awkward?" Before he expresses a preference, he asks, Is this what she wants? The tragedy of this stage is that he mistakes self-erasure for generosity. He thinks he is being good or supportive, but he is actually outsourcing his entire internal state to her. He has made her the regulator of his nervous system. He cannot know if he is okay until she signals that he is okay. She feels this even if she cannot name it. She doesn't feel a nice man. She feels an absence. She feels a person who is not actually occupying his own space. She feels a lack of weight. When a man erases himself to make a woman comfortable, he removes the very thing that makes an interaction real. You cannot connect with a ghost. You cannot feel the presence of someone who is constantly checking to see if they are allowed to exist in the room. Contrast this with the man whose state is not organized around the management of her perception. This man is not performing strength, nor is he performing vulnerability. He is simply inhabited. When he speaks, he is not checking a mental script. When he experiences a silence, he does not feel the reflexive need to fill it with noise or a joke. He is capable of sitting in the quiet of the room without feeling that the silence is a vacuum that must be corrected. This is not to say he is indifferent. It is not the alpha archetype of the unfeeling stern. It is the difference between a man who is ignoring the storm and a man who is simply not being tossed around by every gust of wind. His nervous system is regulated. This means his internal state is not a mirror of hers. If she becomes distant, he does not automatically become frantic. If she becomes warm, he does not become overly eager. He remains a stable point in the interaction. Because he is not busy monitoring her for cues on how to act, his attention is actually available to her. He is capable of true observation. He sees the subtle shifts in her expression, not as threats to be managed, but as information to be received. He is not thinking about his next move. He is not calculating the impact of his words. He is simply there. This creates a specific quality that others read from him. It is a sense of density. A sense that he is a complete entity regardless of whether the person across from him is engaged or withdrawn. He does not require her reaction to know where he stands. He has already decided where he stands. This is why his presence is felt even when he is silent. He is not a hollow space waiting to be filled. He is a solid presence that occupies the space he is in. The tragedy of modern advice is that it almost always targets the performance, never the state. The self-help industry tells you to be more vulnerable. The dating coach industry tells you to be more assertive. The HFB industry tells you to communicate your needs. These are all instructions on how to refine the script. Then are instructions on how to perform better. If you are a man who is performing vulnerability, you are simply adding a new, more complex layer of acting to your repertoire. You are still monitoring her reaction. You are just monitoring it to see if your vulnerability is landing effectively. You are still using the behavior to achieve a result. If you are a man who is performing assertiveness, you are just using a different mask. You are still driven by the same underlying anxiety, the fear that if you don't project strength, you will be found wanting. The advice fails because it treats the behavior as the unit of change. It assumes that if you change the outward action, the underlying experience will follow. But you cannot fix a nervous system in flight by changing the words it speaks. The behavior is the symptom. The state is the cause. You can practice all the communication skills in the world, but if the man underneath those skills is still terrified of a moment of silence, the person across from him will feel the terror. Not the communication. They will feel the tension of the man trying to do it right, and they will react to that tension. You cannot communicate your way out of an unmanaged state. The man in the restaurant continues to work. He is polished. He is attentive. He is, by all traditional metrics, a great date. But the connection remains shallow. There is a glass wall between them, invisible but impenetrable. She is interacting with a well-constructed avatar, a digital-grade representation of a man rather than the man himself. He is performing the role of a partner, but he has forgotten how to be a person. The performance is a shield. It protects him from the risk of being seen, but it also prevents him from being felt. The chase ends when the man realizes that the thing he is running toward is not a woman, but the relief of finally being able to stop performing.